Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Now, I've always thought that offertory music ought to be really upbeat. We got it today. Yeah, really great to see all of you. It's great to be up here preaching. Love to do that. But I spent some time studying this week, and I thought, kind of glad I'm not doing this every Sunday. So I really appreciate Pastor Doug and what he does for us week in and week out. Hey, just to pump up one of these announcements, is the men, we're hosting the sectional men for Monday night. So, what? Yeah, Light for the Lost, is that what it's called? Yeah, so be there and let's be good hosts for the rest of those that come. Well, the title of, The title of this is Be Prepared. Check those guys out right there. Are they prepared? Let's see, what do they have on? Blue jeans and a tank top and a ball cap? Is that what they have on? No? No. They look like they're ready. They're prepared. They spent a little time, didn't they? Getting that way. They might have started at 5 o'clock in the morning, getting prepared. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared, ready, to make a defense answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now, I like that. I mean, that's a beautiful idea that people are just going to walk up to us and ask us, hey, what's inside you? What's going on with your life? You know, no, unfortunately, we live in a culture where that doesn't happen very often. But I always say maybe if we prepared a little bit more, where we actually showed an interest in other people as they walked by and we smiled at them. Sometimes we talk about how happy we are, and then I said, well, tell your face about it. Show some joy, show some peace where someone might venture out and ask you what's going on. Why do you look like that? That's a good prayer to pray for yourself. Lord, help me to be that kind of a person where someone might come up to me and ask for the hope. What is the hope that drives you and has changed your life? Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Well, I looked up the word in the Greek for prepared, and it's hetoimos, which means to be fit, ready, prepared, equipped, armed, fortified, and capable. I just described every one of you. Yeah. Y'all are nodding your head? Okay, good. You might say, not always. Well, but the Bible says always. All right, so that ought to encourage us and inspire us. Say, that's right. Every day. The song we sang this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. So if you were to ask me, hey, Steve, what day is it? I'll say it's the day the Lord has made. No, I mean like the number, you know. Well, whatever the number is, it's the day the Lord. No, I mean what day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's the day the Lord has made. That's easy to remember then. Yeah, you always know what day it is. It means you're ready for action. Oh, this is fun. I got my iPad here. When I do this, about 5 or 6 slides go by. Okay, so it means you're ready for, I said that. All right, defense. There's a word that's translated there, which literally means answer. The Greek word there is apologia, which means a good answer, logical response, a defense, or compelling argument. Do you need to be ready for that? And if you're not ready, you're liable to say, bleh, I don't know. Let me think of something. No, prepare yourself. I mean, if you're the soldier and you're going out on that reconnaissance maneuver right there, and somebody pokes a rifle out the window and starts shooting at you, would you say, well, I'm not ready for this. I didn't know somebody was going to shoot at me. I mean, this is actually war. No, they're prepared. They're prepared for anything that comes along. We're told by preachers that we need to go out and witness. but we don't have a lot of training. And unfortunately, in my opinion, a lot of our training in evangelism and personal witness is bad. A lot of it is bad. Because we are taught confrontational evangelism. We get in people's face. We'll say, where are you going to spend eternity? Or we've got this Bible verse ready or this huge Bible. They see us coming up with the Bible. You know what? When I see that, I take off and run the other way. Somebody rings my doorbell. I look through the curtains. I'm not going to open the door. But you know what I might open the door for if you're at my door? If you brought a cake. Got any cookies out there? Okay. Yeah. Boy, that should be evangelism one-on-one. You want to reach your neighbor? Don't just say, where are you going to spend eternity? Are you going to heaven? You know, bake them a cake. Hello, welcome to the neighborhood. We're so happy you're here. We look forward to getting to know you better. Oh, and then later maybe they might out front see you out there and start a conversation. And they'll say, by the way, I saw a bunch of cars in your driveway the other day. What's going on? Oh, we have Bible study. Oh, you do? Well, I've always been interested in that. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't mention that. You're invited. Isn't that a natural way to share? Rather than trying to lay something on them and tell them what they ought to do. So I think there needs to be more emphasis. Well, wait a minute. Before that, talk about sharing. There were two men by the side of the road, and they were holding up signs. And one of the signs said, prepare to meet your doom. The other one held up a sign, and it said, you're going the wrong way. Turn around. Well, these cars, they just kept speeding right on by them, looking at them, then just going right on by. One motorist said to the passenger in his car, and he says, can you believe those religious nuts on the side of the road? You know, they really bother me. You know, they don't need to be making signs and imposing their religion on us. They just kept on by, going by. Finally, one man said to the other, do you think we should have just put on the signs, bridge out ahead? So really, part of our Christian testimony is just that. There's a bridge out ahead. Look out. But we need to do it in the right way. Just put on there, bridge out ahead. I think there needs to be more of an emphasis on prayer and asking God to use you to bring people to the Lord. Have you ever prayed, Lord, prepare me for the day? And then the Lord answered you, no, you prepare yourself. You know, I've got all the armor for you. I've got the helmet of hope, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, all that stuff, gospel of peace. It's all there. You put it on. You prepare yourself. And so, there you go. There's a good prayer. Lord, today I'm going to prepare myself. I don't know what's going to happen in the day today. I don't know what's going, you know, on the highway. I don't know what's going to happen at the grocery store, 24-hour fitness, wherever you go, Walmart. You need to pray before you go to Walmart anyway. You realize that. Anything can happen there. So, that's right. Be ready. Be prepared. I remember my first church, Becky and I went there. Actually, I went there before she got there. We got married 6 months later. It's kind of neat. First church. And I had heard that if you want to start a revival in your church, find out who the worst sinner in town is and pray for that person and get them saved. That will start the revival. So I started asking around the people in my church, because I didn't know anybody in town. And I said, who's the worst sinner in town? They said, Dale Harrison. This immediately. They didn't have to think it over. Dale Harrison is the worst sinner in town. I said, let's start praying for him. So we started praying for him, and it wasn't just a few weeks later. Here he came to church. Yeah. He gave his heart to the Lord at a rodeo party in his RV, and he was just there to drink and party and have a good time. But God spoke to him when he went into the restroom to, anyway. Yeah. And he was so impressed by the Holy Spirit that he needed to get saved. He gave his heart to the Lord right there. He said, so if you ask him, how do you get saved? He said, go into the restroom. Kneel down by the toilet, give your heart to the Lord. So he came to church, started coming to church ever since then. And then a lot of other people, he brought a lot of other people in on his, coattails, yeah. Yeah. Not apron strings, coattails. And then a lot of other people started getting saved, not always because of him, but because we kept praying. This one particular lady, we had Bible study in our homes, and we would pray for the lost. And every time she'd say, pray for my husband, he's not saved. Okay, we prayed for him. Next week, prayer request, pray for my husband, he's not saved. Well, this kept going on and on until one day her husband knocked on the parsonage door, and he had his handkerchief in his hand. He's wringing it. And he said, Pastor, he said, you don't know me, but he said, I've got to give my heart to the Lord. I mean, there was no small talk. He said, I'm here to get saved. Yeah, what? Philip Garvin. Yeah, I said, he was a big, strong guy. I thought maybe he was mad at me. He was very humble. He's crying. I need to give my heart to the Lord. And there was just story after story of that happening. None of that was because of me. None of it. Every one of us, you could independently trace back. It was because the church was praying. But so one person after another. One night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a call. And a lady that was coming to church and her kids, she said, could you come over here and talk to Travis, please? He needs to give his heart to the Lord. And I said, well, okay. I was thinking, does he want to or do you want him to? I mean, what's going to happen when I get there? So when I got there, I found out he had been drinking. And sometimes people get repentful whenever they're drinking. They're promising their wife, I'm going to straighten up my life. So, but he comes to the little bar in the kitchen, and we're all sitting there talking. And he said, yes, that's what I need to do. I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. He said, I'm an alcoholic, and I want to give my heart to the Lord. So we had a prayer there, and it's just a great time. Went home. Next morning, it was Sunday morning. Well, who was there to greet me when I walked up to unlock the church door but Travis Jones? A suit on, tie, had his whole family, 4 kids. They were all there. He never missed a Sunday after that. He was sincere. It was because of what the Lord did right there. So, was I ready for that? Yeah, I answered the phone. Yeah, and, you know, I was ready to share the gospel. I was ready to receive his acceptance of the Lord. So, well, one more story. My next church, when I went down to Houston, a lady came to our Bible study, and her prayer request every Wednesday was, can you guess it? My husband. Pray for my husband. Her name was Linda Jones. Yeah, so pray for my husband. He's not saved. He's not interested in the Lord. He's kind of an atheist, actually. And he had had some bad experiences with church and preachers and religion. He didn't want to have anything to do with church. I said, okay, let's pray. So we kept praying. That went on for about a year. And so we had a big event happening at the church, and I said, well, one thing I'd already found out, I said, Linda, what's Ken's hobbies? What's he like to do? She said, photography. He likes that. And I said, I'm going to call him. So I didn't give him a Bible verse. I didn't say, you need to get saved. I said, hey, would you be interested in coming to the church and taking some pictures of this special event? Just go around the church taking pictures of people and what's going on. Would you be willing to do that? He said, sure, I'll do that. So sure enough, he came to church. He went around taking pictures. I could just tell he was so happy to do that. I mean, he was in his element. And but then he came back the next week, and then he came back the next week. And by the third week, he said, I want to get baptized. He was 6'4 and weighed 250 pounds. That was not easy. He said he was worried a little bit himself whether I could actually bring him back up. What? Yeah. Let him down. That's it. So, neat stories like that. I'll tell one more. Over the church, first church here when I was at Rockwood, we had a lady in the church that was coming, and she said, "Pray for my dad. Pray for my dad." Well, he was a believer, but he only had 6 weeks to live. He had cancer, and he had lost all of his hair through treatments and everything. And I said, "Well, hey, could you bring him down here and let our elders pray for him? We really believe in our elders praying for people to be healed." And I said, "We don't just pray for them, oh, Lord, bless them. We say, oh, Lord, heal them." That's the way we pray. So she talked him into it. He came down to the church. The elders prayed for him. And the next thing you know, he said, "I'm feeling better." He said, "I think I'm going to stop my medication. I'm not going back to chemo. I'm not going back." Now, I never told him that. I never tell people, you know, stop your medications or anything like that. He decided to do that. I'm either going to get well or I'm going to die. So guess what happened? He lived. Yeah. So about a year went by, 2 years went by. He's doing better and better. And so I was talking to him one day, and I said, "You know what? Do you realize you're going to live?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, this is really crazy. And I said, he said, "But I don't know how long I've got." And I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "What would you do if you knew you were going to live?" He said, "Well, I'd go on a big game hunt in Colorado." And I said, "There you go. Here's a word from the Lord. Go and do it." Yep. He did it. Felt great. He lived for another 25 years. Yeah. A leader in the church. Just a great supporter. The point is pray. Like we do, we pray for the lost. We keep sowing seeds. One man watered, one man planted, another watered, and another one reaped. Don't expect to do all three. Most of the time, you're the seed sower. So don't just go, "Well, I witnessed to this person, but he didn't seem interested." So what? That's... Your job is not the reaping. Your job is the sowing. Just keep on sowing those seeds. All right, so if this is you, you got a scripture up there that says, if this is you, okay. Happy, caring, positive, truthful, gentle, respectful, faithful, loving. Is that you? You're going to say, sometimes, maybe once a week. No. Be consistently that, and I'll guarantee you, people will not run from you. They're not going to slam the door in your face. They're going to run to you when this is you. So, be prepared. Boy Scouts, what's their motto? Be prepared. How about a coach? He might have that same motto for his team. "Hey, we got a big game this Saturday. You guys ready?" They're going, "Well, yeah, sort of." "Well, no, we're going to get totally ready for the game so that whenever the game comes up and we run out on the field, we're not just going, in different directions." No, we know how to line up. We know how to run the play. We know what strategy we're going to have to win the game, offense and defense. They have rehearsed it. They have practiced it. They are ready. I've even heard coaches, when they lost a game, in the post-game interview say, "We weren't really prepared as we should have been." Ouch. A pilot has to prepare. Jack and I were talking. Yeah, that's why he's here. He wants to make sure I mention him in the sermon, because we had breakfast this week, and he's doing, he's getting your pilot's license, or have you already done that? Your instructor's license is what you're going for. Okay, so he knows a whole lot about flying, so I like to listen to him. But he said, a pilot has to be prepared. Y'all know they go through a checklist, don't you, before they take off? A pretty long checklist. And it's like the golden rule for them. You don't just go, I've got this. No. You don't got this. You go through that checklist before you take off. And then, while you're flying, you know how to handle situations that come your way. Like Sullenberger. Y'all remember him when he landed on the Hudson? Yeah. Landed his plane. He probably only had about a 10% chance of doing that successfully. Yeah. But he had a plan of how he was going to do it, and it worked. He was prepared. Thank God, Captain Sullenberger. I bet he still gets letters from all those passengers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We thought we were goners. So as Christians, we need to be used out front or behind the scenes, wherever you are. No, everybody doesn't get to stand up here and preach, but you get to go out there and reach. You are the reachers. Three examples real quick. How am I doing? Okay. No, we're going to make it. David and Goliath. Was David prepared for Goliath? Yes, he was. Did he have a plan? Yes. Had his slingshot and he had five smooth stones. Yep. He was prepared. How did he get prepared, by the way? Did he have a picture of a giant he kept looking at? I can handle that guy? No. No, he took care of a bear, took care of a lion, took care of other wild animals that tried to get his sheep. Yeah. He probably practiced with that slingshot, put tin cans up there on rocks. Somebody, aren't you going to call me out on that? I don't think he had any tin cans. Well, clay pots. Okay, so he put some clay pots up there, and, bing, every time. So when he was ready for Goliath. Didn't take him but one rock. Got him right there. Yep. He was ready. How about Nehemiah in the Bible? Anybody know about him? He was a guy that wanted to rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, so everybody kept, even his enemies, they kept saying, we're going to get you. We're going to attack you. We're going to destroy you. And so Nehemiah's going, no, this is from the Lord. He wants me to rebuild this temple. So long story short, what he did is, everybody that was working on the temple, they had their hammer in one hand. They had their brick laying in one hand. But in the other hand, they would carry a sword, a shield. They were ready in case they got attacked. That's right. One more. Jesus, was he prepared? Well, that was an easy one. We know Jesus was prepared. So when he met the devil, how about Adam and Eve? They weren't prepared. No, they did not prepare themselves for the temptation. When Jesus got the temptations, which by the way, it was the same temptation that Adam and Eve had received from the devil. So Jesus was prepared. So when the devil was giving him his best shot, Jesus simply said, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Oh, don't you know this? Devil had a nervous breakdown. Ah, he gave the right answer. The devil had not prepared himself for Jesus' answer. Yeah. So,
get oxygen. Get on your oxygen mask first. I have no explanation for that. I just thought of that.
Have you been on an airplane and they told you that? Put on your oxygen mask first, then you can help somebody else. So that's a good prayer. Lord, today I'm going to put my oxygen mask on first before I try to help somebody else. So here's a prayer. This is not a closing prayer. Don't get excited. It says, Lord, today I will be practicing my defense, my answer, my Christian conduct all day. I will look for opportunities to share the good news of God's love. I pray that even strangers will notice my happy, thankful heart and ask me about it. Amen. Oh, Steve, I'm just going to the grocery store. Just going to Walmart. Just going to the fitness center. No need to put my armor on. It's just right down the road. No, Peter said, always be prepared. So you never know what's going to happen between here and Walmart, and once you get into Walmart, you don't know what's going to happen, who you're going to meet, and who might need a good word that you're able to deliver it to them. And they would receive it as a good word, not just religious argumentation.
Put on a good attitude, a smile, ready for a good word. Now God can use you.
So I say, be ready to verbally share the reason for your faith and why you're so happy and blessed. The woman at the well, remember, Jesus dealt with her. He didn't say you're lost and you need to go to church. No, He said, "Oh, I see you're drawing some water. If you would ask me, I would give you some living water." Wow, what a good word. Boy, she got a hold of that. She asked him about it. Anyway, finally she ran home and she started blabbing to everybody in town. See, you might say, "Oh, I'm not a blabber. I'm not that good at talking." Hey, maybe she wasn't either, but boy, she had something to talk about and you couldn't shut her up. So, how about this one? "God, I want to be used evangelistically. Keep praying, and God will do it." That's all I'm saying. Keep praying and God. Your job is to prepare yourself. Let God fill you with His love and joy till you're bubbling over. Yeah, you got enough for yourself? Go ahead and bubble over, and then you'll get somebody else blessed besides yourself. Everywhere you go, there's hungry people. If they're not hungry, has anybody ever offered you food when you weren't hungry? It's kind of like, "No, I don't want that. Get it away from me. Smells horrible." So that's the way our testimony is to people that are not hungry, not interested, don't want it. So just pray, "Hey, God, lead me to a hungry person today." Because they may only be eating junk food, but that's okay. Keep modeling and sharing the bread of life. "Hey, what are you eating? I'd like some of that. Where do I get it?" Well, you can't get this just anywhere. You get it from Jesus, who gives the bread of life. So another thing I say is study the culture. I'm skipping that. Yeah, study. There you go. So when it comes to today's culture, it's important to understand a person's objections or prejudices concerning church, religion, Christians, and the Bible. Yeah. There was a man that was wanting to witness. There was a construction worker there. He walked up to this construction. They were building something. And he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "No, I don't believe I met him. Does he work here?" You might get that kind of an answer sometime when you're assuming people know who Jesus is. They don't. Study the culture. Expect objections to faith. Often, outsiders think you are narrow-minded, out of touch, hypocritical, and judgmental. Are you? You got to overcome that stereotype. You know, I've met that before, and this is my answer when I hear things like that, when I'm accused of those kinds of things. I just say, "You know what? I'm sorry that's been your experience. Unfortunately, there are some Christians like that. But I want to assure you, I'm not one of those. I really do care about you, and I love you. And all I want is something good for you." So where do you start? Well, start with the realization that your religious beliefs had very little credibility outside these four walls. Out there, they don't know Christianese like we speak inside the church. Nevertheless, be dauntless, just like Jesus, and keep sowing that seed. It's a good seed, and it will come up. So stick to your testimony. Sometimes we want to give them a Bible verse or a little tract that's the four spiritual laws. Not against any of that, but it's better to lead with your joy and your peace. How about a smile? Have you looked in the mirror and seen how much better looking you are when you smile? Well, I am all the time, but I actually get better looking. No, I looked at myself and I'm thinking, look at you, you got a frown. I didn't know I had a frown on my face. So if I'm not smiling, people come up to me and say, "Steve, is anything wrong?" I'm going, "No." They go, "You just looked a little down." I'm going, "Lord, help me to put that smile on my face so people can see my joy and so I don't have to tell them that I'm actually happy." So I'm different. I have a new life now. And it's because Christ lives in me. Just give them a short testimony if you're able to, so that it'll be something that might entice them a little bit to say, "I wonder if I could have that too." And then shut up, unless they ask you further questions. they might want to talk to you again. So prepare yourself. Be articulate about the gospel that most outside the church know nothing about. How about this for a little short testimony? I was once far off from God, but I was brought near through the blood of Jesus on the cross. God raised him from the dead. Imagine that. Wow. Now I'm forgiven and his life is my life. Before I had no meaning, now I've got meaning and purpose, and I have found my destiny in life. That's the power of a personal testimony. I don't know if I put it on the... It says, don't get in somebody's face. Is that on there? I like this little phrase. Don't get in somebody's face, get in somebody's shoes. So can you do this? Here we go. Can you do this? Be positive and upbeat. Be personally related to Jesus. Be biblically conversant. Be filled with the Spirit. Pray for God to use you daily and leave the results to God. So that's not a rhetorical question. I'm really asking you, can you do that? Yes. We all have that ability if we prepare ourselves for the day. Matt Barnett is a minister in Los Angeles. He's got an inner city ministry. Yeah, there you go, the Dream Center. He witnesses to gang members, addicts, thieves, prostitutes, criminals. I mean, that's his congregation. So that's who he's dealing with every day. But you know what's interesting? The way he does it, that gets them into his church, instead of going out there and say, you need to stop doing drugs, he'll go up to someone and say, hey, you know, introduces himself, finds out who they are, and said, I've got a good word for you. You're going to be my next youth leader. See, he didn't call out his sin. He called out his potential. He called them what they could become. That's a strategy right there. And he does that all the time. Comes up to a prostitute, says, you're going to be singing in my praise team. Do you like to sing? Yeah. All right, you're going to end up singing in my praise team. Then he starts witnessing to them about how you get from here to there. People don't know who they really are. They're acting like they think they are or what other people call them. So they don't know. Call out their potential, not their present condition. Okay, so I've got some don'ts of evangelism. I think I got a slide on that. Hey, well, y'all are right with me there. That's good. Don't assume people aren't open to the gospel. Otherwise, you're going to go around and say, nobody wants to hear it. No, no. Don't assume that. Hungry people want to hear it. Needy people want to hear it. Don't just tell people what they need. Let them know. I mean, share something that they want. Now, they need it, but they don't know that they need it. But when they start talking about something they want, you can turn it around to a real need. Don't lead with a Bible verse, but with a good word. Don't fear disapproval or hostility. Don't be critical. Be a reconciler. Don't write people off. Pray for them. Is that fast enough? Here's some do's. Do's of evangelism. Be led by the Holy Spirit. He has a strategy to reach people and will help you. Love people and show it. You can reach people that preachers can't reach. Yeah. So better than having one evangelist go out and try to save everybody, you can have 100 of you going out and influencing people in your circle of influence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Be positive and happy. People don't respond to sourpuss Christians. Oh, that's none of you. Y'all are very pleasant looking. Keep it up. And pray to be anointed because you are.
Yes, sir.
You might not think you've got that much to share, but if you pray that you're anointed, people will see things in you didn't know were there, and you'll be able to reach people with good word and a good attitude and a smile. Okay, are y'all ready for the closing prayer? I hope I said something today that you can relate to. So let's all pray this together. I thank you, Lord, that I am anointed, equipped, blessed, capable, ready, and prepared to do what Jesus did when he met people. He didn't judge them. He loved them. Today, I'm going to partner with the Holy Spirit, ready to give an answer to anyone for the hope that is within me, and I will do it with gentleness and respect. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.